This Finish Line Radio podcast brought to you by WePaint. Give owner Jamie Goodman a call at 1-912-341-5372. At WePaint, we paint so you don't have to.
Dale's Heating and Air presents Finish Line Radio.
Finish Line Radio.
On ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. What song is this? We're listening, whether you're listening to us on the FM dial.
We can't be friends
anymore. Or the ESPN 101.3 app. You mean we are? Thank you so much for making us
what
a part of your day.
What song is this?
Where have you been?
I don't. Maybe you guys are just a little older than me. Maybe that was 2 years prior to, or for you, Scott, seven, 8 years prior. I don't know. On today's show, we'll recap this past week's playoff race at Dega. I was there and hear from your winner and second entry into the, now I know that song, into the Final Four at Phoenix.
Wow.
That'd be Chase Briscoe. News in the world of NASCAR.
It's
we got a
good thing we're only doing this two more weeks.
I know. I was thinking about that today. And for the first time in Finish Line Radio history, we will have a representative on site at the final cutoff race for the playoffs. Very own Scott Webb.
Super excited.
We'll be at Martinsville this weekend. And
on the front stretch, about 30 rows up.
But the perfect
right before turn one, right where all the stuff's going to happen.
I'm gonna need a grid walk.
You're going to get one.
Yeah, I need that.
We'll for those that follow on Finish Line Twitter, they got a grid walk at Talladega last week.
Every time I go, I try to throw one out there. So we'll preview what he might see, plus give you the Week 8 playoff standings, Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy League standings, and much, much more on today's Finish Line Radio presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. I'm your host, Jamie Kyle. To my radio, right, all things Alabama. Wearing the Alabama long sleeve today, that'd be Jason Hildebrand, the man spinning
opinions. With a lot of pride.
Spinning opinions. I sent him a text.
Yeah, congratulatory text, yes.
It was nice of you. How big of you.
I know. It took a lot. Because I was still kind of hot, but relationships are better. All right, keeping us
on
the air. I just
needed him to cover, and I couldn't even get that.
Sits across the table. He's wearing the Ohio State colors today.
Hey, watch out now.
Detroit Red Wings.
Got the red pullover on with the gray shorts. That's super producer Scott Webb. I did not know that about you, Webb. All right, some drivers had motor issues or slid in a weeper, and maybe they should have called Premier Tire and Auto. They have a history of providing tires and making sure your car is running great is their passion. They even have courtesy cars, so you don't have to miss work. Locally owned and located off North Lee Highway, give them a call at 423-479-3365 and get back on that road today. All right.
So I hear you giving you a shout-out to your boy for sliding the weeper. And there you go. You're starting off the show good.
Listen, I couldn't hear and know exactly what was going on when I was down there.
Just assume.
All I know is that I saw it, and his car landed. It reminded me of Lightning McQueen when Richard Petty's car just landed in the infield and just sitting there. It was like, that's what it looked like. And he couldn't get going, and they were yelling on the radio. But listen, one thing he is cooler than the other side of the pillow on the radio. He does not get excited. So guess he had a pretty good run at the end. I'm not sure. I don't really follow people who are not in the championship. All right, so the heater dud meter. Before we give our heater dud meter, we need to know that the Gluck poll, 73% said it was good. I don't know what
low for super speed.
I wish we had 73% turnout as far as elections go. And that's why the HUD heater dud meter is brought to you by County Commissioner Mylon Blake, who says, don't be a dud. Make sure you vote in the Republican primary in May. And when you do, click to reelect Mylon Blake as District 3 County Commissioner. I went a 2.
Now, is there any impact on actually being at the race to make that a 2?
Because
I thought for a super speedway race, it was kind of, eh.
That's where I'm going with it.
It was a little whole.
It was. I mean,
there's nothing bad about it, but it wasn't like, oh, my God, that was great.
It was pretty good
racing,
though. I mean, to me, like, there was an issue with, and I was right there, right beside Jason's favorite driver, Bubba Wallace. There was an open pit stall, and I was in that stall, and, Bubba come down, and I think.
Did you want to change some tires?
I did. I tried. They wouldn't let me. The 24 kind of come out and blocked him from getting in his pit, and he had to come back around and do it again, which put him back in the back, and he had to come from the front. I thought
Almost won the thing.
Good run for Bubba.
Probably the fastest car out there. So, now I'll go too. I thought it was pretty exciting. There was some intrigue down on pit road. It was it's kind of cool.
I'm going a three on it. You know, I 2.5 would be, you know, pretty average. Yeah. I think it's a little bit below average. I'm just going to go a three on it.
Yeah, I'll go 2.5 just because I thought it was an average super speedway race. I think we've seen better racing at Talladega earlier in the spring, and I thought both Daytona races were better than this. I would fourth out of those two out of those four races. But it was, I mean, it had some excitement. We had a big wreck. You know, it super speedway stuff, but
if you want to look at it that way too, Scott, I mean, I'd put it six because you got Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, it went better than either one of the Atlanta races.
So, let's just jump into it. Big wreck happened early, which was odd. I had made a bet down there with Tony that, you know, within the last, you know, 10, 20 laps or whatever, we would have a huge wreck. Didn't happen. We had, you know, a single spin on the backstretch to kind of put us in the green-white checker. But Chase Elliott getting caught up, no fault of his own, but if you're Chase Elliott, one of the things that you don't need to be is in a position to where if something like that happens, you being in the car you're in, and we've been talking good about him over the past 4 or 5 weeks, he's just not put himself in a position to where he doesn't have to worry about something like Talladega happening.
The only place that you're safe down there is in first place.
Yeah.
That's it. Anywhere else, you are
– way to the front or way to the back. Even the back is more dangerous.
It's risky, yeah. I mean, you got guys riding in the middle and riding in the back. And guess what? Those guys are in the middle and the back for a reason, okay? They're not the cream of the crop. You want to get up there, and the safest place to be out on these super speedways is leading the race. And if you're not there, you are prone to get caught up in the stuff just like Chase did.
Yeah, and I don't think it was any fault of his own. It's just that's the nature of super speedway racing, and we had to figure that one of these playoff drivers is going to get pretty negatively impacted by something that they had nothing to do with, and it just happened to be his turn. His number came up, and it's unfortunate, but now he's got to go to Martinsville at a race at a track that he's had some success at.
Yeah, back in 2020, he's not had any success with a new body style.
No, and I get that, and there's, you know, we could probably say that about a lot of drivers. You know, Keselowski on super speedway has not done anything really in these new Gen 7 or whatever car it is, the next gen car, but it's, you know, they put themselves in a position where they've got to go out and win a race. And there's, you know, but he's not the only one in that situation. We got lots of drivers that although there's going to be at least one spot available via points, there's such a gap between really those top two drivers and the rest of the field that those guys all have to pretty much think we got to win the race to get in.
You have to help me out here because I wasn't able to get the storyline of what happened with Joey and Ryan. I think I know that they kind of were working together. I had them picked as two drivers to deal with in this race, but did they somehow get broke up at the end? And that's what, because majority of the time, second half of the race, they were leading the whole thing, and Ryan seemed, Joey both were ticked off at the end of the race.
Well, I thought they were, I didn't see what Logano had to say after the race, but when you listen to Blaney, man, they thought they were in perfect position. They had a poor restart, couldn't stay connected, and then the shuffling happened, and then they just couldn't find each other. So some of that is just poor luck. Some of that was, you know, you have one key restart in that race, and you've got, you put yourself in position. You got yourself to the front. You got a teammate on your back bumper. You're thinking, man, we're just going to go there and decide who's going to win this week and give the other one an opportunity to win the following week. But you get a poor restart. Car starts flying out, shuffling all over the place, and you just, next thing you know, you're riding around in 14th and 19th, I think it was.
Yeah.
So it was just a bad restart cost them an opportunity to really compete for a win.
Yeah, the cars weren't locked together like we've seen in the past. I mean, I saw a lot of gaps in a lot of these laps. I mean, you saw gaps in between these guys. And, yeah, it's just – I don't know if it's the art of drafting has passed us by and these guys aren't as good as what we saw in the past. But, you know, you'd see these guys just locked together the whole way around. And it's just not like that. So, you know, something like that could have happened and cost them. But
one of the things that I noticed when, and you guys have all, we've all been there and you listen to the scanner, is there's a lot of chatter about move up so I can stay down or get some air and stuff like that. So there's a lot of things with this new car. But what this does is it puts Joey and two teammates, basically, two organization teammates in must-win situations, I think, with Byron and Chase having to contend for the win, both having probably to win to get in. And then you look now at Joey and Ryan. So if it comes down to it, it's almost like teammates be danged, where they could help you previously. They ain't going to be helping now.
I don't think they have the option to help each other now because they're too far behind.
One man for himself.
Yeah, they have to treat this as as we've got to win to get in because they're too far back in points. At this point, you know, it would be different if they were 10, 15 points out of first place. Maybe you can find some ways to make sure that you both get in. But in the scenario we're in right now, which is surprising because usually this is the time of the year when these Penske cars really take off. And since the midpoint of the playoffs, have they been a threat to win any of these races? Since Blaney won his race, I just don't feel like they have really kind of put together the playoffs that we have become accustomed to seeing. And they now put themselves in a situation where they pretty much have to win to get in unless a lot of bad things happen. But I just don't think from a point perspective there's enough things that can happen for them, either one of them, to point their way into the race.
Yeah, regarding Logano, you know, in these playoff rounds that we've seen him run up front. You know, we've seen him in the 1-5 range out there running races, but just finishing, that's where they're having the hard time, is just finishing these races in a respectable position. But not to say that they've been junk, because the potential's been there.
Yeah.
They just haven't closed it out.
They haven't been as successful as they have been.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, crap, even when he won the championship, was he really successful throughout the season, or was just kind of in the right spot, right place, right time,
well, and then got himself to the end? It's just a matter of when you get hot.
Right.
When you have a playoff format like we have, where if you can get yourself to the final race, and then we know how good the Penske cars are at Phoenix. That's a recipe to win some championships.
But don't
and that's
you find
what they've
that
been
odd, though? That's the thing that it just hit me. Out of most organizations, you have two cars probably in two and four car teams or whatever that are really good.
Yeah.
In the Hendrick organization, we can't say anybody's really said stand out. If Larson didn't get as many playoff points as he did throughout the year, he wouldn't still be in third place because he hadn't ran like that.
I'll tell you who don't do that is JGR. They got three studs.
Correct. Could have. I mean, like, all of them could be in, too. That's the
you got a 75% chance.
Yeah. I mean, you've got one car that would probably be there.
Bell's one of the few people. I know Larson's right on his heels from a points perspective, but he's sitting there, and he may not have to win. Him and Larson are probably the only ones.
I've got scenarios.
They've just
got
to finish ahead of the other to make sure they're going to get themselves in. But, you know, I just don't think this has been this. If you go back and look over the last 3 or 4 years, where the Penske cars have won championships is in the second half of the playoffs.
But there's been more than one car that's been good.
They both have been good.
And
they both have made it to the, I mean, they, what, last year they
well,
both
they chased
were,
each other down. Yeah.
They chased each other down, and, you know, and Logano almost won it again.
Yeah.
So, the struggle has been the execution in the playoffs. We have just not seen the speed and the execution from those two cars, where typically this time of the year they're the standard. This year it's been Hamlin and Briscoe. I think those are two probably the most deserving cars to be in the championship for, because they have performed, especially Briscoe. I think you can make a case that Briscoe's been the best car in the whole playoffs. But Denny's going out and winning races and putting himself in the thick week in and week out too. They haven't had that brain fart that they've had in the past that's cost them an opportunity. So it's just about building momentum and start. It's just like any other sport. As you start to have success and build momentum, that stuff can carry on. And we're seeing a lack of momentum from the Penske cars, and the JGR cars have had and been able to keep that momentum throughout the playoffs.
All I know is if you're that 20 or 5 car, and if you can't win this week, you are all in on pulling for that 11 or 19.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, repeat winner there, they're in more than likely.
Absolutely. Let's get to our shock finish of the week.
Shock Finisher of the Week, brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grading.
Shock Finisher of the Week is always brought to you by Caldwell Paving and Grady. Give them a call for any of your paving needs, 423-336-3841. I'm kind of going with, Casey Mears, because he actually finished the race. So that's what I'm going the Shock
Finisher.
That's
a good one. That's a good one. You know, I'm torn here because I can go many different routes here. I can go with Chase Elliott finishing dead last when, you know, he's a great super speedway racer. Kyle Larson, you know, running out of gas on the last lap, inexcusable. I could go with Todd Gilliland coming in second, but I'm going to go with a little bit of personal note here. I pick the 23,
here we go.
Something catastrophic happens. Well, he came home fourth this week, and I had him in my fantasy
lineup.
So all the curse is broken. So we're good to go
for now. Until it's not.
I'm not picking him this week either.
I'll take Ty Gibbs. That was a car that probably had an opportunity to win the race, and he made sure his teammate won the race. So to have him be up there in the mix, and I know it's super speedway there, you could draw names out of the hat of who's running for the win at the end. But I'll take Ty Gibbs as my Shock Finisher of the Week.
All right, so we talked about
Casey Mears.
I know.
It's a good one, though.
Because he finished. I mean,
I didn't expect him to finish.
The bar has been set very low, Jamie.
You had those guys, though, at Talladega and Daytona that they'd start and they just try to get money and, they don't finish.
And sometimes they're up front.
Looked like he was tired, too. He actually had to go the whole race. All right, so Chase Briscoe gets the win. For Briscoe, man, I'm telling you, you jump in, and we don't think about this. This is this dude's first year. It's not like that he's been in a couple years.
It's his first year in a really good ride.
Right, that Martin Truex was in last year and really couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing is that you've got somebody coming on, and he puts a lot of pressure on himself, and he talks about it, Jason, all the time, about how he has this opportunity, so he feels that pressure to perform. I think where the difference is, Truex was already a champion.
Mm-hmm.
He had already, and he was getting ready to go. This is kind of what you get on the other side of the spectrum, bringing somebody like that in.
Yeah, I mean, Briscoe, he has exceeded expectations up at JGR, without a doubt. I mean, the guy was – it just shows you how good equipment can help a driver.
Right.
A good organization, a good core, good crew chief, all that stuff factors in.
Yeah, it definitely does. And so it's big time for him. I know he's had some, he's got a couple kids, really enjoys. I mean, you can tell it's one of those guys that you can relate to, especially for us. I mean, my hair's thin and his hair's already thinned. Yeah. At least he's 20-something and I'm 48. So
we got that going for us.
This is true. All right, this Victory Lane interview, I can't make up anything else to talk about. It's brought to you by Quick Check Convenience Mart. It's my neighborhood gas station. At Quick Check, you'll find a great selection of food and drinks, plus midnight oil gasoline for your car. And they got 100% gasoline for Jason when he has to go mow. Located at 5693 Mouse Creek Road. Stop by and fill up today.
Yeah, the race was extremely stressful. I think I told MRN, I don't have very much hair in the first place, but what I had left was going to be gray. It's a miserable feeling, trying to battle, for points and just trying to not get caught up in a wreck. And, for us to, just have the day that we had. Obviously, I kind of shot ourselves in the foot there at the beginning and, got the speeding penalty, but it just so happened to work out where, we didn't really lose a lot of points to other guys. And then there at the end, I was kind of sick when the caution came out because I felt like I was going to at least finish in the top five and be okay points-wise. And then, that last restart was truthfully just trying to push Bubba to the win. I did not want, William to win. If Larson won, that was kind of best-case scenario out of playoff guys, but was really just trying to push Bubba to the win. I felt like that was going to be the best thing for me. And I don't know really what happened there on the bottom lane, but was able to kind of push Bubba out far enough and then was, able to make a move and the 54, came with me. And Ty was the whole reason I won the race. He was just extremely committed to me, from the get-go and really did a good job of keeping me, up tight to Bubba so I could keep pushing him along. And then, when I made a move, Ty, went with me and was just really selfless in the fact of, he's going for his first win and could have easily tried to make a move or, did something different. And, he pushed me to the win. So just an incredible, team effort. And just, can't thank Ty enough.
Thanks, Chase, for being a part of the show and a contributor as he spoke for 10 minutes. All right, anything you see on Facebook or Twitter X, whatever it's called, it looks halfway professional. It's done by WebEye Digital Marketing. They could do the same thing for your business or your radio show, however you want to do it. For more information, go to webob.com. We got a ton of news in the world of NASCAR. We'll give it to you right after this.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Pull those straps tight.
It's time for more Finish Line Radio
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio. Cool. Well, let's just say starting to be warmed by Dale's Heating and Air. I'm going to make sure that heater works because it's going to get cold. 39 degrees, I think, when I got up this morning.
Wow. Chilly. Chilly.
A little chilly. Want to give Dale a call here in Cleveland, 423-509-8787, or do like we do. Just call dales.com. Right, time for news in the world of NASCAR, and that is always brought to you by Mouse Creek Pharmacy. This is my pharmacy and has been for years. It's your insurance denying your weight loss drugs. Mouse Creek Pharmacy has weight loss compounds that you can pay cash for and as low as $154. To find out more information, go by and see them at 570 Mouse Creek Road or give them a call, 423-790-0443. All right, a couple of news in the world of NASCAR. First, Tony Vitello. Going from first college coach to go straight to the pros.
How's that news from NASCAR?
Just figured it's news. Just news. Up in Knoxville.
Going a lot of sad people.
I don't know. I think you built a program. Now it's time to find somebody else to come over there and take care of it. Take it to the next level.
Yeah.
High level. Yeah. Like you said earlier, Jason, in the world of college sports now, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know, it's upside down.
Yeah.
You know, people see writing on the wall, and the things that you have to do as a coach and a program now is a lot different than it was 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Not only recruiting, but you're recruiting outside. You're recruiting your own players each year.
Yeah.
To try to get that
just
done.
To retain them.
I know. All right. Did a little homework on clinch scenarios. And if there is not a winner below the cut line, so that means that if Byron, Logano, Blaney, or Elliott do not win, then Christopher Bell would clinch with 20 points and Kyle Larson would clinch with 21. If there is a winner below the cut line, Bell would clinch with 54 points and Larson would clinch with 55. So I guess that's how many points they need to score in order to be able to to do that.
Including that includes stage points as well.
Right. So if you look at that, I mean, if one of them get in from and win from the bottom, that's one of those guys are going to be on the outside looking in. All right, some news today came from regarding Daytona. Scott, you want to take care of that?
Yeah, they did announce, and we've speculated a little bit on the show in the past that with the NFL season bumping and now going on President's Day weekend, which is normally the weekend of the Daytona 500, that NASCAR was probably inevitably going to make a switch, and they made that official today as they move Daytona and the start of the best news I got all day long really was they pushed the start of the season back 1 week, which means we get to start this show 1 week later than that.
One more week of vacation.
So it will start, I think it's the 27th. I can't remember. I sent it to you earlier. I don't know.
Yeah, February 21st,
because it's normally President's Day weekend, so it's going to be 1 week later, which would be interesting to see what happens, because there's a lot of buzz that in the next collective bargaining agreement in the NFL, they're going to go to 18 games. That would push it another week later into the season. So now you're starting to get close to March, really, for the kickoff of potentially of the NASCAR season. Well, yeah. Now, I don't want it to go to Thanksgiving like you did that 1 year. I think we did a show in December 1 year. So
let's do it.
One thing it tells me is NASCAR's not totally stupid. They're not going to go up head to head directly with the Super Bowl. So they're you know, it's NFL's running the show.
Right. So, well, it's like they still go up against it.
And their most important time of the year. Which,
but I mean, you go up against the Super Bowl, you're definitely losing no matter what time you do, unless you run that baby at 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, you'd still probably lose because you'd have pregame started. So. All right, Heater Suarez.
Yeah, Bob Pockrass reported that he is replacing Justin Haley in the number 7.
Who was just officially let go last week, I believe.
Spire Motorsports. You know, Suarez being replaced by Connor Zilich at Trackhouse. So that's a good landing spot for Daniel Suarez going to Spire to replace Justin Haley.
I think who gets the better deal out of that is Trackhouse, because you got, you know, Zilich, who looks like he can't lose.
He's like hot, for sure.
He looks like the real deal.
The only thing that stops him is jumping on, you know, on his car. You know, that's about the only thing that's going to stop.
That's still, that was funny.
I mean, it's a good, line. You know, it's a, he's one of those guys that it's going to be interesting to see because he's real young.
Yeah.
You know, I think looking years down the road, you've got your Ty Gibbs, you've got your Connor Zilich, you've got some good young drivers. Let's just see how they evolve in the sport.
Yeah. Is he going to be in the equipment? That, I mean, you look at Junior in Xfinity Series, probably has the best equipment, you would say, if not close. But, I mean, is Trackhouse.
But, I mean, they did get a car in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, and they've been a little inconsistent the last couple of years. But, you know, Chastain, remember, a couple of years ago, he rim-rodded around Martinsville to get himself in the Final Four.
Tried to move forward, I guess.
So they've shown speed in the past. Can they be a little more consistent? Well, that remains to be seen, but probably a good move for him. Definitely one of the top, if not one of the top, the top driver in the some of the other series.
So. I believe Suarez took freeway insurance with him to the Seven Spire car. So that's a big sponsor taken away from Trackhouse, as they probably finance most of the Suarez deal over at Trackhouse. Oh.
You know, another driver on the move here. Junior Motorsports announces that Raja Karuth, part-time schedule, number 88, HendrickCars.com Chevrolet.
Yeah, and we didn't get to talk about this last week, I don't think, but Rodney Childers has joined Junior Motorsports and will be working with, I can't remember which driver he would be, one of them that went part-time. Anyway,
I mean, I think they're going to have like three different drivers driving that 88 next year.
And I think that's going to be the car that Childers works on.
Yeah, that's going to be a weird, strange setup there. Oh, yeah. You know, Carruth, you've got Van Gisbergen, you've got who's the other driver that's going to be part-time in that car?
That's the one I'm talking about, whichever one that is. I can't remember his name. But so that would put – but the thing for me, though, is you know, you've got all those drivers in there, but you have a championship crew chief coming to kind of work at your place.
For now. I mean, they could be bigger ambitions of having him there potentially
for other
maybe
things.
A cup
ride in Dodge.
I think it's a matter of time before that Junior Motorsports goes cup.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
Wouldn't that stand the world on its head if they went Cup Series racing in a Dodge.
I don't think that's going to happen.
That'd be awesome. No. All right, let's jump to your NASCAR Cup point standings, which are very short, and they're not short, is Bree, and that's the amount of time she'll spend on trying to sell your home or help you buy that dream home. She's with Cry Like Realtors. Give her a call today at 1-269-598-6243. Scott Webb, take it away.
Thanks, Jamie. It's now time for your NASCAR Cup Series point standings after the running of the Yellowwood 500 from Talladega Super Speedway. Chase Briscoe is actually your overall point leader. He has a 9-point lead over Christopher Bell, Kyle Larson, Denny Hamlin, another member of the championship four, sits in fourth. The guys, one of these four are going to have to win to get in. William Byron, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, and Ryan Blaney and Chase Elliott are your next four drivers. So those guys are going to need to win and get in. And that is your NASCAR Cup Series standing.
Just noticed that there was a pound sign by Van Gisbergen. Makes me think at the bottom I should see championship material. Outside that, all right. Somebody that is championship material is Bree Maia when it comes to selling your home.
Denny has actually more wins. Yeah.
Give her a call.
Second most wins in the sport.
1-269-598-6243. All right, time to move on to the next race. We'll do it right after this.
Got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
The green flag is out.
Finish Line Radio,
presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
We'll
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, heated by Dale's Heating and Air, Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Scott Webb, and the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. See something blooming outside, starting to get on me. Something's blooming as far as the court case between 2311 in front row is Denny Hamlin and Jeffrey Kessler, attorney for 2311. Racing and Front Row Motorsports offered no comment leaving the courthouse today. The summary judgment hearing remains scheduled for tomorrow. Not sure what that means. I guess we'll hear about it tomorrow.
Doesn't sound promising, does it?
No, does not sound promising at all. Really for either side, to be honest with you. So,
I'm about ready for this to all be over with.
Yeah.
Make a decision.
Me too.
Let's do with it.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Talladega is over with, and it's time to move on to your next race.
But if they don't, that's a sponsorship we can sell next year.
What's that?
Courtroom drama brought to you by some random lawyer sitting here in town.
Yeah, we could do that. Or the public defender, my buddy.
Yeah.
In life, your next race may be buying a new home or moving an aging family member to their new home. Balance Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. For more information, go to balancemoving.com or give them a call. 423-763-1000. Our friends at MRN interviewed a couple of drivers this past week about Martinsville, one of them being Ryan Blaney. They asked him, when did you start to click, or when did things start to click? Let me read that again for you at Martinsville.
Fall of 2017, it started flickering. And then I'd say the spring of 18, it really kind of was like, okay, we went and led a lot of laps in spring of 18. And it kind of started to fall into place of, now I feel like I have my arms wrapped around this place. Before that, it was a huge struggle for me. I was terrible there in trucks. I was terrible there for the first couple of years of my cup life. And we just worked really hard at trying to figure out, how can I be better? And what do I need to drive like? How do I have to evolve my style at this place and my mindset? How can we get the car to kind of cooperate with what I'm trying to do? And yeah, it's been really good to us, especially this fall race the last 2 years. I grew up just south of there, so that's kind of a, it's kind of a home track for me, so it means a lot when we get to run there. But it's a hell of a night. There's always some fireworks.
Not even going to be a night. We'll find out in the schedule today.
I hope it's not a night.
Yeah, for you.
Some of us.
Maybe
hope
not.
It's not a night race.
It's Ryan Blaney said it's his home track. It's also Martin Truex's home track, along with Denny Hamlin's home track.
It's a lot of people's.
Definitely not William Byron's. And they ask him, how's Martinsville different in the fall from in the spring?
You kind of make the mistake of trying to copy the spring a lot of times and it doesn't work. So I think it's just one of those places you have to approach with an open mind, and you maybe know how to get around that racetrack, and maybe you know how to crew chief that racetrack, but it changes every time. And it does seem like the weather and the tire changes have affected that, where the tire changes just enough or the weather changes just enough where the notes are obsolete. And I think it's such a short track. You're going around that racetrack so many times that the rhythm and cadence of it, just one small thing being off, changes the whole game. So yeah, we got to do our prep and can really understand what we're going to face, but we probably don't fully understand the balance until we get there that weekend.
I believe the left side tires this week will be tires that have been proven to fall off, I think, is what Goodyear has made the announcement. So for your luck, hopefully. I was on a NASCAR Heat 5 last night. I hadn't gotten my 25 yet, but I was racing at Martinsville. It's amazing how much you have to put on the brake there when you think about it. And so the brakes, Jason, will probably be one of those things that you really have to take care of at Martinsville. And we've seen, you know, what happens when you wear them out, and they're good for a bit, but once they get rolling, it makes it difficult to get around the corner.
Yeah, take care of the tires, take care of the brakes, everything else falls in line, baby.
Yeah.
Yep, got to be good on pit road this week as well, because, you know, it's such a tight, confined pit space that you got to make sure you're getting in and out of your pit stall correctly, that you know, don't have any pit road incidents, no speeding penalties, because that's going to put you multiple laps down and there's just no getting back from that.
And unlike we saw a bunch of speeding penalties at Talladega, you have a speeding penalty here and you have to go pit road speed while everybody's at the green.
If you got a green flag run going on and you make a mistake, that's three laps, probably.
Definitely three laps. Kyle Larson, he's our third driver. Speaking of three, MRN asked him, what is your confidence level heading into Martinsville?
I feel like we're in the ballpark for sure. I think our team has done a good job to execute the strategies, whether it be, you know, whenever you take two tires and stuff like that, have good restarts and things. But points earned wise, probably one of our better tracks, but it's not somewhere that I go and I feel like, all right, like I'm gonna have a shot to win, you know, here. I still don't feel the best there. It takes me a while to get into a rhythm. And then even when I get into the rhythm, you know, there's still three or four or five guys that I feel like are better than me there. Ryan, obviously, I think would be, at least in the fall race, the by far the best the last few years. You can't ever expect to do good anywhere, but I do. Our previous results, I think we could go there and score good points if nothing crazy happens.
Yeah, definitely the crazy
thing.
Didn't
that sound very confident, didn't it?
Well, did
I think we can score some points if nothing crazy happens.
I think he thought that up front when he was talking, he was saying that they had seemed like they had a good setup or a good idea of what they were going to be able to do. I don't know. You know, one of the things with this race is, you know, it's a short track. We go from going as fast as you can to kind of being able to handle and, you know, and then you add in the element of who's helping who, since we're trying to get, you know, two other drivers into the playoffs.
But can you be a lot of help at this track?
I think you can.
Blocking.
Yeah. But also, you know, you got to think too, if you, you know, say there's something happens to, you know, William Byron, for instance, and he has to go down three or four laps, can he hold up a leader for somebody to get there that might be in second place from Hendrick Motorsports?
Yeah, this track always just reminds me of like an old Hot Wheels setup. I mean, it's so compact. I mean, you could put, right. you know, a few cars out there and it looks like the track is just jam-packed. And it's interesting. I always liked Martinsville.
Right. And this is a one-groove track, and we usually complain about one-groove tracks, but what it creates here is a lot of bumping and moving people out of the way. And with double-file restarts, if you get stuck in an outside lane and can't work your way back down the bottom, you can lose 6, 7, 8, 10 positions, sure, just on a poor restart because you're stuck in the outside lane and people are just passing you left and right. So you've got to have all your I's dotted and T's crossed this week, especially for Byron and Blaney, Logano, and Elliott, because you don't have any option. You got to go out there and win this race. So you got to qualify well. You got to make sure you're clean on pit road, and you've got to make the passes when you need to make and don't get stuck in that outside lane.
Technically, Jason, for this track, or being technical, if the car that is usually really good there can get up off the corner, get on the gas quick, but then also can kind of be able to maneuver himself into a good angle to where he could do exactly what I said going into the corner.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's the whole thing is, to me, being able to get into that gas out of that corner and you know, basically propel yourself out there. So I enjoy Martinsville. I always have enjoyed Martinsville. I've seen some great Martinsville races, kind of some, you know, okay Martinsville races. But it's a fun track.
I remember when they used to have those things where it hit the gas, those front ends would be up in the air almost. They hit the brake and poof, slam down to the ground. So, all right, schedule
curb,
for this weekend.
Not many tracks with a curb around it.
That's so exactly right. Schedule for this weekend brought to you by Clarity Property Management. CPM is locally owned property management company. It handles finding tenants, collecting rent, handles all the maintenance issues too. If that's something you're interested in, give them a call. 423-458-2600. Give it to us, Heater.
Yeah, Thursday they'll be running modifieds. IMSA at Martinsville, so jam-packed Thursday. Friday, FS1, the truck at 6 o'clock is going to be running on, like I said, FS1, the truck race. Saturday at 7:30 on the CW. So not a little bit of night racing for the Xfinity Series. And then Sunday, 2 o'clock on NBC. So, you know, like I said, you got pretty good weather going up there, Scott. You know, 60s, 50s, 5% rain. So it should be good.
The rain was the thing that had me nervous. It's going to be a little cool. Almost was going to try to get to qualifying and watch the Xfinity race, but they moved the Michigan game to 7:30, so I'll be glued to the TV about 4.5 miles from the track. So.
No, I mean,
well, you can always layer up. So, you know, if it's cool, hey, I always throw a little bit of something else on.
We'll have some layers.
If it's hot,
it's easier to take them off than it is to put them on. You ain't got them.
If it's solid hot, point. You're screwed.
Yeah, that is. Well,
it makes me, you know, this race, when I first said I was going to go, made me nervous because it wasn't too long ago. It snowed during this race, so that was not going to be cool, but it looks like it's going to be good weather weekend. It looks like the rain is going to hold off until Sunday night, Monday morning. So I expect a good show and looking forward to it. First time being to this track, I've always wanted to go. So I'm excited to be there. Going to eat me one of them nasty red
is there something you need
Martinsville to, hot dogs.
Listen, is there something you need to tell us? I mean, is this bucket list? I mean, you've been to Daytona. You've been to Indianapolis.
I've checked some races off the last few years, so I'm pretty excited. This is a no-brainer. I got family that lives in town. I should have been to this race a long time ago. But
you got a free place to stay.
I got a free place to stay. So we're going to take advantage of it. If we like it, we're gonna do it again.
Wow. Well, maybe.
The spring. I don't know about spring. It's a little – it can be a little – I've seen some 35, 40-degree races up there in the spring. So I don't know if it's going to happen in March. But this time of the year, I'll roll the dice, see what it looks like.
Too old to be cold. All right, we need to
– For real.
We come back, it'll be time for the Rick Carp Fantasy Stand. I don't even know where I finished. I didn't even check it after it was over with. I don't think it was good. But we'll find out right after this and tell you who we have picked for Martinsville this weekend.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio.
Sponsored by Cleveland Aqua Tigers on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio. Heated by Dale's Heating and Air. Well, what happened there? Kind of weird.
Was it weird, or were you just not paying attention?
It could be that. All right, this is Rick Cartlidge Fantasy Standings.
It's probably that.
Are brought to you by the Cleveland Aqua Tigers. Do you know Cleveland has a summer and a year-round swim team?
Yes.
It's a perfect sponsor for a show because, well, they race. If your kiddo wants to race or just be involved in a team sport, check out cat.swimtopia.com for more information. Hito.
Yeah, so Talladega League standings. RLM Racing was first. Arnold Tarpley second. Scott Webb third. Untethered Racing fourth. Teddy O, myself, Blake Bull, Brandon Gaines, Jamie Kyle, Loving Left Turns, Gunnar Ratter, Your Cage, number horrible. Three.
You are horrible.
That's right.
Real Lyle and Kivo Racing.
There.
A lot of double-digit.
Kivo asked for some advice when I was there. It seems like I gave him some really good ones.
Made some poor choices.
Man.
Buell was there, too. Blake Buell, he was there. He finished sixth?
Yeah, seventh.
He's sitting in the Talladega Towers. Yeah, he should have been better than that.
So the overall playoffs is Teddy O, RLM Racing, Loving Left Turns, Brandon Gaines,
that's
Arnold
Garth.
Tarpley, Kivo Racing, myself, Gunnar Ratter, Your Cage, number three, Jamie Kyle,
he's
Scott
horrible.
Webb.
He's horrible. He's
Untethered
horrible.
Racing, it's the Real Lyle.
The Webb guy's definitely horrible.
Blake Bull, Bentley Thomas. So overall, Teddy O is leading, followed by RLM Racing, Brandon Gaines, myself,
Garth Brooks,
Gunnar Ratter, Your Cage, number three,
horrible.
Kivo Racing, Loving Left Turns, Arnold Tarpley, Jamie Kyle.
How did Untethered I fall so far down the list?
I don't know.
Racing, Scott Webb, Blake Bull, the Real Lyle, and Bentley Thomas.
So I just need it for clarity's sake. The playoffs don't matter as much this year as they did last year.
No, the playoffs do matter.
It depends on who's leading.
The leader. Yeah, I just needed to clarify.
I am mad that I'm not doing
well. Last year
he
came in here with a WWE belt wrapped around his waist.
Listen, there's not much that I can do with what I've got going on right now.
But you got all your drivers left.
All my drivers. Yeah, everyone.
We all got a bunch of them left.
Be in the playoffs. I'm in. So, all right, for Martinsville, I'm going with William Byron, Kyle Larson, Joey Logano, Ryan Blaney, Christopher Bell, and Chase Elliott is in my garage. If that means anything to you, yes, that's the six drivers that are going to be trying to qualify. I've got Larson over Bell. I've got Blaney over Logano and Chase over Byron. Excuse me. And Briscoe over Denny. Of course, that don't really matter. I don't have – they don't even
– No, they don't. There's no hot picks this week.
No hot picks, huh? I guess that's – I don't know why.
Yep.
What you got, Hater?
I'm going Ryan Blaney. This one scares me. I'm going with Bubba Wallace.
Hey.
Ooh. Going to ride that train 2 weeks in a row, aren't you?
Yep. I'm going to go Joey Logano, Chase Briscoe, Chase Elliott. In my garage, I'm going Ross Chastain. Matchups, I'm going Larson over Bell, Blaney over Logano, Elliott over Byron, and Hamlin over Briscoe.
Well, since we all have a lot of our drivers left, a lot of the same names, but I got Blaney, Byron, Larson, Christopher Bell, and Joey Logano. I got Elliott. I think all six guys not in the playoffs are in my lineup. I got Larson over Bell. I got Blaney over Logano, and I got Chase. I got Chase Elliott over Byron and Denny Hamlin over Chase Briscoe.
All right. Final question before we wrap up the show. Two drivers that will accompany Chase Briscoe and Denny Hamlin are who?
Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson. I think you get a repeat winner from either Hamlin or Briscoe.
That was going to be my answer, but I'll change it. I'll say Larson and Blaney. Blaney pulls off the miracle and wins at Martin's.
No Hail Mary, huh?
That's why I like going first, because you don't take my picks, because I had Blaney in there. I'll go Logano.
Well, you're picking. Picking.
I think I'll go Logano and Larson. I don't think Larson, one of those guys, is going to make it
in. I think Larson, in reality, and if you were wanting my absolute opinion, I think Larson and Bell, I think one of them either win or nobody wins and they both get in.
Have we ever had a playoff four with three of them being
I don't think team? We not that I can remember off the top of my head. I don't think we've had 2 point getters get into the finals.
No, I don't think so.
I wonder if that is good or bad for NASCAR when you've got that. So
I'm
sure Joe
Gibbs, I don't know,
is like,
I'm sure we're going to see some tweaks to the playoff in the very near future.
But I will say this, if you look at the top eight, all of your highest point gathers and playoff points are still there, with Logano kind of being the exception with only 8 points, Briscoe with 18 and Elliott with 18. But that shows you how important it is to get those playoff points throughout the year in order to be able to hang out in the playoffs. So.
It matters.
All right. Make sure you tune in next week. This Scott will be fresh off Martinsville. We'll have that.
And a big preview of the championship.
I think I've got
hopefully the final Phoenix championship race.
I may have Mr. Hayden lined up for that. Maybe we'll help hold him for the next week. But it's definitely one of the kind of the fun weeks, because we get to talk about the championship. Then one more week we wrap up, and then I don't even talk to these dudes until February. So it works out really well. So make sure you tune in next week. We'll get you ready for the championship and break down Martinsville. It's for Scott Webb, Jason Hildebrand. I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dales Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.